Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you that you never let go. You're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You promise us that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So, Lord, our hope, our life is in you today. We do give you praise. And, Lord God, I do ask, as we look in your precious word this morning, that you'll speak through me. I'm nothing without you. And, Lord, may we draw closer to you through your word. And, Lord, help us to live godly lives before you and before our community. And help us to be witnesses through your power and your strength. And we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be preaching, Lord willing, a topical message. Several passages of Scripture. Instead of a passage or a chapter, verse by verse, we're going to look at different verses, but on the topic of how to receive the Holy Spirit as we continue a series of messages on Sunday mornings concerning the Holy Spirit. I believe the church today is misinformed about who the Holy Spirit is and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. First of all, I want to let you know, you may be used to me saying this, but to some of you who are first time here, I want to say the Holy Spirit is not your conscience. You do not want your conscience to be your guide. I don't know about you, but my conscience can justify sin. And if you really want to be honest with yourself, it's your environment and kind of the situations you're in. And if your fallen nature conscience is your guide, you can justify just about anything you want to do. You want your conscience to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God and with Scripture. Okay? And also, the Holy Spirit of God is not a lesser God of three. The Holy Spirit is God. He is deity. He is not a lesser God of God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is God. He is deity. God relates to us through the person of God the Father, through the person of God the Son, through the person of God the Holy Spirit. I relate to you. I relate to my children as their father. I relate to my wife as her husband. I relate to you as the preacher or the pastor. I relate to some as your friend and so on. I'm the son of Jimmy and Sharon Evans, but yet here I am. Okay? So God relates to us. He came and dwelt among us and showed us how to love God as a father. And we can call God Father, but the only way we can call God Father is by the Holy Spirit of God, which cries out in our hearts, Abba, Father, or we can call God Daddy. So the Holy Spirit is God. He is not a lesser God. And one other thing that we need to share this morning is the Holy Spirit of God glorifies, exalts only one person. You can read from Genesis to Revelation, and the only person the Holy Spirit of God exalts and glorifies is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Not a saint, not Mother Mary, but if you will read Scripture, I didn't come up with this. Read the book yourself. The Holy Spirit exalts Jesus Christ, glorifies Jesus Christ. And if a spirit exalts humanism or what man can do or some other person than Jesus Christ, then that is a spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist. So if you want to know a truth test whether or not it's the Spirit of God or not, who does he exalt and glorify? It should be always Jesus Christ. Now with that, how to receive the Holy Spirit. Some will tell you that you gotta do this or you got to do that. And if you start searching the scriptures, the do this and do that's not found on receiving the Holy Spirit. So let's look at what the Word of God says about receiving the Holy Spirit. First of all, we receive the Holy Spirit of God by being born again. That passage of Scripture is John chapter 3, verse 5. You can turn there with me in Scripture or look on the screen. And just a background of this text of chapter 3, Nicodemus, a master of Israel, who could quote you the entire Old Testament. He taught it. He had it memorized. He came to Jesus by night and said, asked him how to have eternal life, to receive eternal life. And Jesus shares with him how to receive eternal life. And we get that precious, precious verse that many of us can quote, and that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So we get this text here in John chapter 3. But with that, Jesus also shares about receiving the Holy Spirit. And by the way, when I go through this with you this morning, it is not first, second, and then third. This happens simultaneously as we go through this morning, okay? So what happens when we receive the Holy Spirit, or how to receive the Holy Spirit? We are born again. How to receive the Holy Spirit? By being born again. Nicodemus asked, how can I enter again into my mother's womb? And Jesus says this, verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, water in Scripture always refers to God's Word, to Scripture, the washing of the Word. And to be born again, we're going to get to that in a moment, but it's to believe God's Word. And this baptism symbolizes and shows about being born again. It's a watery grave. When you go in, you come up, and it symbolizes you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Well, how? Because you believe God's Word. So by being born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So how to receive the Holy Spirit? By being born again. By believing God's Word. And that leads us to the next. How to receive the Holy Spirit? It's by faith. By faith. And this is also in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. By faith, we receive the Holy Spirit. The book of Galatians is a letter written to the church. What was happening, there was a heresy in the church, and the Apostle Paul was writing against it. The heresy was, there was a group of men that would come and tell you, you had to be a Jew, had to observe the Mosaic law and be circumcised. In other words, go through man-made stuff to be a better or to become a Christian. The Apostle Paul was writing against that heresy. The only thing I've ever found in Scripture to be a good Christian is to know Jesus personally and to follow Jesus. That last time I read, that's what it says. Amen? So Paul was writing against that. And we get to this verse in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. And it says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And he goes on, I highly encourage you to continue to read when you get home. Not now, listen to me. But read. And he throws out that question. They received the Holy Spirit of God because they believe what God said, the hearing of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this word faith, it's a special word. It's believing to the saving of our souls. It's trusting what God has said, and it's believing what God has said through the Scriptures to us. So we receive the Holy Spirit of God, not by works or works of the law. We're saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. If you start with that, folks, stay with it. Amen? Don't fall from the grace of God by putting yourself under legalism, but stay with Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ. It's by faith we receive the Holy Spirit, and not by the works of the law, but by hearing what God's Word says. This is all simultaneously. Also, how to receive the Holy Spirit is by obeying God. Obeying God. Acts chapter 5, verse 32 is the passage we have here. The Holy Spirit had come on the day of Pentecost, and everyone heard the gospel message on the day of Pentecost. They heard the gospel in their own language. It was a known language. To hear the gospel in your language means you hear it from a preacher, in this case this morning, who doesn't know English that well, but I speak in southern dialect to you, and somehow you understand me. Okay, you're hearing it in your own language. And that's how they heard the gospel in Acts chapter 2 in their own language. And the Holy Spirit had come, and it was evidenced, and 3,000 people were saved. And then a few days later, 5,000 people were saved. The apostles were speaking boldly because the Holy Spirit of God was empowering them. And we hear this from a message from Peter. And he says in verse 32, Acts chapter 5, "And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." So they were witnesses, and also the Holy Spirit was a witness. And by the way, when you are full of the Holy Spirit of God, you can't help but talk about Jesus. Amen? That's what they were doing, and they were witnesses, and the Holy Spirit witnessed it also. But we pick this up by obeying God, by being born again, by faith, which faith is also trusting in what? Obeying. Obeying God. Let me tell you what the evidence, if you have the Holy Spirit of God, is to others. You want to hear it? Amen? You really want to hear it? The evidence is living godly. Having the fruit of the Holy Spirit. By talking about Jesus, by being a witness. You can do all sorts of things that's unbiblical and still live a godless life. The evidence is obeying God. By living for Christ. That's the evidence if you have the Holy Spirit or not. Are we perfect? No, I'm not saying we're not, that we're perfect and above sin. But praise God, when I sin, the Holy Spirit convicts my heart and says, "That's wrong, boy, stop it." And I confess before God, "Oh God, forgive me. I repent," because the Holy Spirit convicts my heart. And God forgives me. By obeying God, by living for Jesus Christ. And if you're not living for Jesus Christ, I don't care if you speak in 20 unknown languages or jump 10 pews at the same time or been baptized so many times, tadpoles, knows your social security number, unless you're living for Jesus and glorifying Jesus in your life, you do not have the Holy Spirit. Period. In each case, in this Scriptures, in the Bible, it was people who could make a decision to follow Jesus. They were at an age, whether it's 5 to 50 or however old, but it was not little babies. They were people who knew, because the Holy Spirit convicted their hearts of sin, that they knew they had to have a Savior, and they repented and turned to Christ, and a little baby can't do that. Why am I telling you this? Because I love you. Stay with what the Scriptures teach. So by obeying God, and that's living it, that's godly living, that's the evidence. How to receive the Holy Spirit is simultaneously, when all this happens, by repentance. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we get this part of this message that Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he begins the same way Jesus began his earthly ministry. Repent is what Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Peter says, repent. Turn from sin. What is repentance? It's a change of heart and mind towards God. It's a change. It's a saying, yes, I'm a sinner, and I turn from sin, and with God's help, I'm going to overcome sin, and with God's help, I'm going to live for Him. And it's a change of heart and mind. It's a change of direction to follow Jesus. That's repentance. Repenting of sin. That's a forgotten word in most churches today. But Jesus and the apostles said, repent. Turn. Turn. So repent and let every one of you be baptized. What does baptized mean? We just had baptism this morning. It's a commandment of the Lord Jesus. It's obedience to follow Him and believers' baptism. If you know Jesus Christ personally, you will make a conscious decision. If you haven't been biblically baptized, you would want to be biblically baptized. Why? Because Jesus commanded us to. That's why. We identify with Christ. If we identify with His death, burial, and resurrection, we identify that we're dying to our old life and living. We repented and we're living for Christ now. It shows others we belong to Jesus. That's water baptism. Here, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't have the name of Jesus Christ up there and we're baptizing in His name. So what does it mean? The word baptize, by the way, I wrote a paper on just that word once upon a time, and the word baptize is a transliterated word that is smashed into the English language. In other words, they didn't translate it. They just stuck it in there. The word baptize 400 years before the New Testament means to immerse, means to put under, come up. 400 years after the New Testament was written, the word baptized meant the same thing. To put under the water and come up. To be immersed. The word baptized means to immerse. So, to repent and be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, in that same message, in the message after this, the Apostle Peter said, there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. That's the name Jesus. So to be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ is to give your life, to give your life, to be in Christ Jesus. Your life is immersed in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. And they later started calling them Christians. Little Christ, what the word Christian means. So, repent Give your life to Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart and life, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God immerses you, indwells you. You are the temple of God. Take care of the temple. Take care of the temple. By repentance, also by the baptism of the Spirit, goes along with all the rest of this. It happens simultaneously. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. This is before the ascension of Jesus Christ. Oh, it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that over 500 people were there and actually saw Jesus ascend up into heaven. Can you win a court case with 500 witnesses? I believe you can. And there they were, and Jesus gives this command and speaks about receiving the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. The promise is God's presence. God's presence, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. God's presence for all eternity. Another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, a chapter in the Bible that speaks of spiritual gifts, and that's another message for later. But we pick up about receiving the Holy Spirit, verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We're called the body of Christ. Every one of you are gifted and talented to serve Jesus with your gifts and talents. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Our lives are immersed in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God indwells us. The promise is God's presence. Amen. Through the good days and bad days, as we sung, oh no, he never lets go, and hallelujah. Hallelujah. So receiving the Holy Spirit simultaneous. You're being born again, and it's by faith, it's by obeying God, believing God that you need the Savior. By repentance, living for Him, and you're being baptized with the Holy Spirit when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we're fixing to have an invitation. And if you would like to be born again, give your heart and life to Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's by faith. By faith, not by feelings. See, feelings is a big part of it, but tomorrow I may feel bad. You know? Good thing I'm a person of faith and not feelings. Feelings is a part of it, though. Okay? But if you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit and be born again, and or make it public that you already know Jesus and you want to follow Him in believer's baptism, I'll be here to help you all that I can. If you'd like to be a member of this church, please come forward during the invitation. Okay, and you can be part and enter in covenant with us here at Cooper Baptist Church. Okay, that's what this invitation's for. We're going to worship God during this invitation. The rest of the church is going to be worshiping, and if you want to come kneel at the altar and worship and pray, please come. Okay? But let's pray, and then we'll begin our invitation as Brother Roland and the musicians come to lead us in worship. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that we don't have to guess about anything about being saved. It's just plain, written down for us. And Lord, it has seen the church through the centuries. And many, Lord, many have received you. And we give you praise. And Lord, there's still more. There's still more that need to follow you, Lord Jesus. So, Lord God, we ask that your Holy Spirit will woo the hearts, convict hearts, and may they respond in faith this morning. May today be the day of salvation for the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.